Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Big thanks to Bombfell for supporting FilmSack. Bombfell is an online personal styling service for men that helps you find the right clothes for you. Get $25 off your first purchase at bombfell.com/filmsack. That's bombfell.com/filmsack.
The greatest feeling you can get in a gym, or the most satisfying feeling you can get in the gym, is the pump. Let's say you train your biceps. Blood is rushing into your muscles, and that's what we call the pump.
Oh, like I said, I'm busy anyway.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, episode 346, and we are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by Brian. He can help... Sorry. He can help move your poorly parked Italian car, Dunaway.
Oh, man. Okay. Oh, hi. Mr. Olympia, lost and found. How may we pump you up today? Just a little levity, sir. Yes, I totally understand. You've lost your shirt, and that's no joke. Okay, so can you describe the shirt for me? It's red, right? Well, we have a lot of red shirts, sir. Can you tell me what size it is? A large, but it wears like a youth small on your hulking body. Oh, okay. And white trim? Oh, well, that does narrow it down. So can you tell me, does it have any ironically cute pictures on it, like an owl or a cartoon dog? Oh, it does. It has Mickey Mouse on it, you say. Where are you calling from anyway? The lobby. Oh, okay. What's that? Oh, you can see me? I see you waving now. My, you are one large shirtless man. Really kind of hard to miss. What's that? The shirt I'm wearing? It's red with white trim and has Mickey Mouse on it. Hold, please.
It's like a play in three acts.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Also with us, Randy, you should see what he can do with a water bottle, Jordan. Hello?
Did he run too?
I don't know.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Scott,
go ahead.
Yeah. Aloha. You know, the greatest feeling you can get while preparing to podcast, or the most satisfying feeling you can get while preparing to podcast, is the dump. Let's say you're about to do a show. You go drop a deuce right before, and that's what we call the dump. You squat into this really tight feeling like your hind end is going to explode at any minute, and it's really tight. It's like someone's blowing air into it, into your backside. Jeez. It just blows up, and it feels really different. It feels fantastic. All three of you know you were there about 15 minutes ago.
I do like the pre-show dump.
Yeah, pre-show dump's a good dump. Nothing wrong with that. Also, and finally with us, Brian, huge men in tiny panties, Ibbit.
So true. Okay. Hi, gentlemen, and welcome to the 2017 Mr. Olympia competition. Now, the times have changed, and for your pose down, we're going to be introducing some new moves for you to make. Okay? So this first one is going to have you down on one knee with both hands outstretched down and in front of you. Yes, we call this one resetting the router. Okay? This next one has you standing up and both of your arms straight out at shoulder length. At shoulder height with the wrist slightly curled up. This is called helping bring in the groceries. Okay. All right. This last one, you're going to be slightly hunched over with your hands around your back, with your hands placed right down there on your lower back. And we call this one the result of years of overexerting yourself.
Nicely done. Yeah.
Thank you.
This is my life.
Y'all at home, the people at home, they have no idea what we've done here. We've watched a documentary.
What have we done, Scott?
We watched a documentary, and I don't know what took us along or why this one got picked or whatever, but we always said, you know, one day we're going to do a documentary. We've also said one day we're going to pick something animated that's, appropriate for the show, and we'll still get around to that, but...
We hit both marks this week.
Yeah, I guess we kind of did. Yeah, we wanted something with huge, out of proportion characters, and gosh darn it, we got two with one stone. But anyway, it's a little movie called Pumping Iron. Came out in 1977, and I don't remember this at all. So when Ibbot brought it up some time ago, it was a complete mystery to me that this even existed or what it was about. I assumed it was something about this, and then I started looking it up. I'm like, oh, okay, this is that famed Schwarzenegger Ferrigno versus battle deal, which I'm slightly disappointed in, because even leading up to this, we had people writing in saying, I do not like how Schwarzenegger treated Ferrigno. I think Ferrigno got the shaft.
Really?
And all this stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, really? This was really benign. I didn't feel like it was any kind of versus thing, really. Not really.
Oh, interesting. I thought that there was some insulting, like, wow, you make so much noise when you're lifting. Why do you have to make so much noise?
But that was just competitive sports, right? Because, I mean, he didn't do anything outside the realm.
Well,
yeah, so it's not necessarily the realm of competitive sports. I mean, this is pretty lightweight compared to.
I thought so too.
I mean, recently we've seen guys wear a FU shirt.
Yeah.
That FU suit, the guy with the pinstripes that said FU all up and down. I mean, come on, that's a real insult.
Yeah.
Well, we've got that. I mean, what's the big fight coming up now with McGregor and who's the boxer that he's fighting?
Oh,
who's
Mayweather? Yeah. Mayweather. So Mayweather McGregor. There's a lot worse going on there than there was between Schwarzenegger and Ferrigno.
I just want to point out, Schwarzenegger didn't give Ferrigno the shaft. He gave Franco Colombo the shaft in that hotel room they were staying in together in South Africa.
No kidding.
Why did they have the beds pushed together?
Right together. And it wasn't the only time.
Ricky Ricardo and Lucy had more space between them.
They did.
That's not the first time we see all these guys laying right up against each other. It's the first time is when they go to the beach.
Yep.
And they're all, I guess it took me a while to realize, they're getting tan. I didn't read the scene never tells you what in the world they're doing out there, except they're having some kind of slumber party.
Yeah. Arnold's sleeping in part of it. At least it starts with him sleeping.
Right. Not that there's anything wrong with being physically close to another man.
You're right.
But what we assume to be a very manly sport seemed a little more intimate, someone at ease with their physical presence.
Yeah.
Possibly.
It surprised me.
So, let's get this out of the way right now. I mean, it feels like a very homoerotic movie.
Well, and you got to understand,
and we know it's not
it's
intended
40 years
to
old.
Be.
Right.
It's 40 years old, but even, I mean, 40 years old, I mean, even if you looked at this 40 years ago, you'd still say, wow, it's, you got a lot of guys rubbing oil.
You know what,
over,
Brian? Brian, let me give you a little background so you can explain this game.
Sure.
Here we go. Okay, now.
Yes. Thank you.
But is
because the music does not help the movie whatsoever. It's like,
but is it because we associate such a free love type? Like, I think of the 70s, and so bad hair. Everything is here.
Yeah.
Bad hair is here
yeah.
for this movie. A lot of oiled up people. That's very 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of bad 70s music.
Yeah.
And so
it's almost all here. It's almost all here. It's all it's missing is the actual pornography.
All the dang wood paneling and all the the gems and everything. It was just
Yeah. That's totally right. So whatever. It's a thing of its time. It's old.
It's old.
yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. I looked at it. I mean, part of me, there were times where I was like, oh, this is like a real documentary. I kind of like this. I'm into this. And then there were other times where I was like, this crowd's a plant. These people are not cheering normal. Oh, this yeah. is weird. Like people going, yeah, look at him. He looks so cool. And I'm like, you're not totally real.
Yeah, the initial crowd you see that's like disbelief, flailing their arms and yelling like they're watching the greatest thing ever. And then it's just, you know, three guys up on stage doing one pose after another of
yeah. Right. By the way, if there's three places for three people competing, no one's gonna lose, right? Because that's what we have.
Well, but they kicked out fourth place because you know, what's his face? Cats, Mike Katz and his great hair.
Poor old shirtless cats. Oh, poor old shirtless cats.
This movie has so much drama.
Yeah.
I didn't expect these guys. Like, I got that Schwarzenegger's larger than life and everything, yeah. but I didn't expect them to be so dramatic all the time.
Yeah, like, they were much more than I thought, too. That surprised me. And also made me wonder if most of that stuff, not scripted per se, but encouraged, you know?
Like, oh, I think so for sure.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, especially when your dad is Salieri and he killed Mozart, and all he does is push, 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 and talk, 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 talk.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna feel something.
Sure. But, here's the other problem I have with the movie, or a problem, maybe the only problem outside of its datedness and some of the porny aspects, but the whole thing that we had in the beginning, which was a whole other rivalry that just kind of went away. We have, like, three chicks in the bucket in this movie, and they are all mm-hmm. bodybuilders who we thought this movie was about. And then they were just poof, gone, including the guy that won, the redheaded kind of freckled dude that beat the teacher. What happened to that guy? Where did he go? Like, what are we just done with them? Well, and why did we see him in the first place? That was really weird, I thought.
This is, to me, what almost makes this not a documentary, but almost like what we have now with reality TV. You have some of those red herrings who are like, this may be who we're going to follow. Invest. Nah, just kidding. These people are gone.
Yeah.
So I think there was, I don't know. I think the line is kind of blurred for this to be a documentary.
You're not entirely certain that the filmmakers know they're making a cohesive film. And right. that's the weird, the thing about it. Like, Mr. France shows up in the very last scene and damn near takes the whole thing away from everybody. Like, that's that sort of thing. You wonder, like, did the filmmakers even know that was a possibility? Because they spend a lot of time letting Arnie be Arnie and talk about his philosophies and so forth. For me, that's the best thing they do. Like, I wish the whole film had just been
maybe
Arnie talking about how they interview. Why they do this.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this was true documentary making at its essence, because there's only one or two probably cameramen who were filming this, and they didn't know who to follow because they didn't know who was going to win. Well, Arnold was a safe bet, right?
Yeah.
Because he'd already done it 5 years in a row.
Yeah, he was old hat at this point, right?
But trying to figure out the upset, you had to follow a couple different people. Yeah. You can't just throw that footage on the floor.
I mean, this was him about to go do Terminator. Like, this is we're literally at that moment of you're just about out of here for Terminator, right?
No, this is like
this 77.
No,
this is like 77. You had Terminator in what? 80?
About to do Commando, right?
84.
84. So it's like a decade. That's still a pretty long time. What was he gearing up for? Because I know he was going to quit.
Conan. No, Hercules, right? Because both of
them. No, Hercules was earlier. Hercules
was happened
1970.
Before. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, Conan. Let's see. The villain. Didn't see it. Scavenger Hunt. Nope. Conan the Barbarian, 1982, is the next thing.
Yeah.
That's about right.
The next thing.
That's about right, because this thing hits theaters in 77. 78 through 82, you're getting your business done. You're building your shit career or whatever. But I'm with Randy. This should have been, and I wish there was one, and maybe there is one, but I would love like just a full length documentary that is all about Arnold.
Well, guess what?
Arnold coming here and working toward the top.
Hello. Coming there.
Guess what? There is a hat on a hat documentary. There is a documentary about this documentary.
What?
Okay.
Yeah.
Really? What? Okay. That's, I need to see it.
I would
it.
Like to see that.
There's a Pumping Iron, the documentary.
Is it Raw Iron or something like that? And it is a follow-up to the documentary, talking about what happened up to the documentary itself, and where everybody ended up afterwards.
And what's so, the point? Oh, so it's just a follow-up, kind of sequel kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of a follow-up. Where are they now? Well, they're we know where most of them are.
Yeah, Ferrigno became the Hulk, and yeah. So when this is another thing that bugged me in the movie. There's a scene toward the end where Arnold's going to win, and they're announcing the winners. Third place goes to Ferrigno.
Ferrigno.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, this is in the Tallman category. Yeah, I loved it. Well, they called it the Tallman category.
Yeah, the Tallman category. But before he went back there, they're all kind of like, you know, nervous up there, whatever, kind of like chattering back and forth and stuff. And at some point, Arnold leans over and whispers in Ferrigno's ear.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went...
Who's hard of hearing, by the way?
Yeah, I went way more than hard of hearing. Like, at this point, certifiably deaf. He's not going to hear that whisper. Right. And so I'm thinking to myself, and he kind of leans into it. And so I thought to myself, well, I wonder if two things is going on here. One, he's not as deaf as we've been led to believe. Or two, Arnold's just dumb for leaning in and trying to whisper into this deaf guy's ear.
So you're kind of challenged the whole film to figure out whether Arnold is smart or dumb. And it really comes to a crux in this one scene where he's giving an interview. And the interviewer is like, so you're known as a prankster. Tell us about a prank.
I love the prank.
And then he starts talking about it, and you realize it's not a matter of smart and dumb. He's a 10-year-old boy trapped in a man's body.
Yeah. Right.
He thinks mind games are – he doesn't know the word mind games, but he thinks mind games are real and so on.
Some bodybuilder to go up and scream every time he does a pose on stage until they finally kick the guy out. Yeah. That's like – that is either the most brilliant strategy for making sure you win – or
he's just a horrible person.
he mentions before that he talks about some of his influences, and you would think, oh, other bodybuilders, but he's like, no, I'm really into dictators and stuff because they were remembered for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. Let me see how I can manipulate people. Yeah. So he is definitely the art of war kind of idea.
Totally, and it's fun to see. I mean, you know, say what you want about Arnold and his various incarnations, and you know where he's been and gone and all that, but it's hard not to admire just the raw, like, ambition of that guy.
Dedication.
Oh, sure. Yeah, to go from skinny little kid in Austria to this, to all the other things he wanted to do, to, you know, eventually governor of California, and then sort of a disgraced version of that, and now whatever he is now.
Disgraced version.
And, like, he's a force of nature, and it's hard to deny that. So more of that would have been great. I didn't, you know, as much as I felt bad for the seventh grade teacher that was trying to, you know, follow his dream and have terrible hair, I still.
that Mr. Katz, bullied. Yes. He'd been bullied his entire life, even during the stupid thing. They still took his dang shirt. It's
right.
Just every time.
Like, just to mess with him. Like some guy's laughing about, I'm going to take some of his stuff just to mess with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you looked at what Mike Katz looks like these days, by the way?
No.
Oh, no.
Tell me
no.
The hair stayed.
Had the hair for quite a while, and then around about looks like 2000, just basically shaved it. He's a much older. I mean, obviously he's much older, but he's like got like he aged a lot in the last.
Right, right.
I don't
know. We all do, right?
8 to 10 years.
Mm, right.
Well, it was like a slow. Just judging by like dates and stuff that the photos were taken.
And that's how we all age, right? Because we all age up to a certain point, but then you hit a spot and it's just like, okay, all the aging's happening right now. Good luck.
Yep. Yeah. You just go downtown real quick. I'm trying to find a photo of him. I can't find a more recent one. Oh, yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, my gosh.
Bald with the Wilford Brimley looking dude is Mike Katz.
Weird.
Is there anything more unnatural while we're talking about Mike Katz and his poor hair that's disappearing? Is there anything more natural to anyone than these muscle guys who get rid of every bit of hair on their body? But then they have like a huge mustache and this big poofy hair. It's like I don't know. It just feels weird. It doesn't feel like it should be. Like, shouldn't you cut that short?
They were so trapped in the style of the 70s.
Right.
It was hard to watch at first. And of course, what you're really glaring at is this thing that's so strange that you don't always see, right? Which is the muscles on top of muscles that almost feel like Lou Ferrigno. I kind of wanted his hair to be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit.
This Ibit photo that Ibit just sent us is like, this is why you worry when you work out when you're young, because you may end up as this product.
Right. So that's a picture of Mike Katz 4 years ago, and he looks like he has ginormous breasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because he does. Like
he does.
He's literally given himself. He gave himself these things. They are unsustainable in the long haul. And so if you look at Schwarzenegger with his shirt off on the beach, and those exist. those photos today. Whew, that is not that is not a natural aging deal there. Like that's they're presented with a whole new. I mean, they all seem like
he looks
healthy
like
guys.
He's wearing a fruit roll up.
And the abuse continues here on Film Sack. Yeah. Mike Katz is bullied as a child, bullied as an adult,
I want to talk about that. The thing that makes this movie good is Schwarzenegger. So you have all of these other people, and they're trying to give you a reason to care about bodybuilding, right? Mike Katz talks about how he was bullied when he was young. Franco Colombo was a small Italian who wanted to be able to be stronger than the other ones around him. Lou Ferrigno is driven by Maddie Ferrigno, who we never understand why in the world they're doing this. But Arnold Schwarzenegger starts the film by saying, oh, you think it's weird? Let me explain it to you, and gives you an actual explanation about the mind of a sculptor. And it's like, oh, wow, yeah. He's actually not only, you know, like the best bodybuilder here, he's the strongest thinker of the group of them. Mm-hmm. He's the philosopher here.
Yeah. No, totally.
And I will say that his explanation definitely gave me some clarity into like, oh, that totally makes sense. Like you look at it, you look at yourself in the mirror and say, all right, the shoulders actually look out of proportion with the rest of my body, which I don't know how you look in the mirror when you look like some of these guys and say, everything looks out of proportion on this body. But you say, okay, my shoulders look out of proportion, and the equivalent of a sculptor throwing clay on them, you just start working out the shoulders more than anything else. And then you look at the next thing and say, okay, now my arms are a little bit and whatever. Yeah. And that kind of did open it up to me, like, all right, I kind of see where the quote unquote art form is in this.
Yeah. Well,
and then you see them interacting with each other and you realize, oh, there's also a fraternal thing going on here. Mm-hmm. They keep doing it because it's fun. They enjoy each other's company.
Mm-hmm. But apparently not highly lucrative, the third place, because Lou Ferrigno stopped after this year because he wasn't making enough money at bodybuilding.
Well, that year, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, like 75 is when this actually happened. Yeah. But yeah.
So then 3 years later, he was the Incredible Hulk.
That's right.
Right.
And then he was now he's just a con hopper now. That's what he does now.
Yeah.
Con hopper.
He just goes to every con and sits at a table.
I'm hopping. Off I go.
Makes people sign, or people make him sign stuff. He was here. I saw him in Salt Lake, and he is an enormous human being, an enormous man. I've never, like, I'm going to say this. Sorry, Arnold, but of the two of you, Ferrigno has kept his shape better than you have. I hate to tell you. I mean, he really has. I'm looking at some beach shots of Arnold walking around the beach with an iPad for some reason, like he's taking pictures with it, and it's just
like my mother-in-law.
Not good.
What's the age difference though? Because a lot of these guys were in their 40s, but of course Ferrigno and Arnold were much younger at this point.
Yeah. They were like 28 or something.
Ferrigno was born in 51.
Yeah. Right.
When was Arnold?
So he was even
Arnie?
Younger.
Was Arnie?
Yeah, and Schwarzenegger was born in 47, so 4 years.
A little bit different. Not much.
Yeah.
Katz
but Ferrigno still gets gigs though as the uncredited voice of the Incredible Hulk in the Avengers films.
Right.
Oh,
wasn't that just a little bit of fortuitiveness that Hulk's voice is? We kind of can imagine it having like maybe a little speech problem or something like that, but it's kind of it works.
No, it totally works. No, I'm totally impressed with that guy. I think that some people say he's a big jerk in real life, but whatever. I think Ferrigno's an example of somebody who was kind of a skinny, dorky kid, found something he loved, totally went for it, lost his hearing as an infant, became like expert lip reader. Like crazy good at that. Like that's crazy to me how good he is at that. I don't know that you ever get to see that from too many other people like that, but he's just, you know, props to that dude for pulling
it's hard
out,
it's not know? it's hard not to like either one of those guys. They're
both charming dudes. I gotta say, I thought the Italian guy, the Franco guy, I liked him a lot.
It makes you like, when you start getting to know them a little bit, then you go and look at them again and they're all standing next to each other on a stage, you're like, I cannot tell the difference between these people. Mm-hmm. How did they get judged?
Yeah.
A bunch of muscles.
Yeah.
Right. I guess that's it. I mean, you just look at what's symmetrical and proportionate and whatever, but I don't know.
Like I watch the Olympics every 4 years like everybody else, and there's times when you're like, okay, I feel like I'm starting to understand diving or whatever. I can see how this person is winning. The posing, no idea. Nothing. I got nothing. They all look so odd.
Even the advice seemed weird. It's like Lou's dad said, oh, don't lean so far back, your back wrinkles. And I'm like, is that a judgment? I mean,
I know. Back wrinkles. He's lost 2 points for back wrinkles.
Right. He's got a really bad case of the back wrinkles.
But again, there's a scene where Schwarzenegger is talking to some up and comer in the gym, and he's a very short guy, and Schwarzenegger's giving him advice. And I'm like, yeah, this makes total sense. Yeah. I totally get it. Schwarzenegger is so good at this, you know, they keep coming around to that, and it makes the movie.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, my favorite part of this episode has been so far is our quiet judgment as we're throwing pictures back and forth of crazy muscle men in our Skype chat.
Well, I'm pretty sure this last guy's photoshopped. This guy's photoshopped. He has to be.
Totally. Yeah. But I will say that this does give me a new appreciation for Rob Liefeld's drawing.
Oh, yeah, no.
it really does, because when they turn sideways, you're like, oh, their muscles do kind of do that, doesn't it?
That must be what he was looking at.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how, I don't want to say anything out of turn here for anyone out there listening who might be a big bodybuilder fan, but I assume a lot of this is steroids, right? Like most of it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. A human cannot get to this size without steroids. I'm pretty sure. I could be totally wrong, but from everything I've read, I don't know how that is possible.
God, you'd think that would have come up even as a deterrent. Oh, no, you kids out there want to start bodybuilding. Just never take steroids and, you know, use it as a thing. I'm amazed that in the hour and a half of this film that steroids was never brought up at all ever.
Yeah.
In 75, we pretend like this didn't exist.
Well,
right?
the only thing I noticed that could have hinted at it at all is Ferrigno taking like 30 different pills at his dresser drawers.
Right.
And
we always assume injectable steroids, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
We all assumed those were just like vitamins, right?
Maybe that's what they wanted us to assume. But I feel like what I was looking at was, I don't know, that was a lot of vitamins. I feel like
what am I looking at here? Yeah.
I think that was purely stuff you could buy at the GNC.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Just down the street. But yeah, like these guys are, they're just beef machines. I don't know how any of this is done.
It's a beef machine.
The way they...
Let's talk about the porn aspect of this movie.
Okay.
So there were these moments of like, all right, I would like to drift your attention to the weird red carpeted tiny gym room in South Africa where they were all training before their actual competition.
Right. Tiny room.
Every room they were in was tiny.
One of them is like in a bunk, Schwarzenegger on the head with the barbells.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was so small in there. And they were just, you couldn't help but like walk over a dude, sit on him, drip sweat on this guy, rub this guy the other way. Like it, and the whole time it's that wow music the entire freaking time. So I'm not saying that the directors had, there are two directors, that they had some, you know, secret little porny thing going. I'm just saying it comes off that way.
Is this a lack of for us to be able to accept, this much skin, because we're talking about looking at somebody's muscles, and of course they're always in these little bitty shorty shorts, and as men who grew up to not show off all your shorty shorts, is that our shortcoming?
No,
I don't think any of us are assuming one way or the other the sexuality of any of these people.
Right.
I think what's comical to me is that they don't realize how weird some of the stuff that they're doing looks.
I feel uncomfortable at the regular gym. All right. Yeah. There's no way I can handle their gym.
Well, part of it is they're the width of like four normal people. And so, so them walking around in the tiniest little skimpy little wiener cover, and they're so just inches from each other all the time. And they're just going and slapping and just constantly looking at their biceps, always looking down. Look at this, poking at it. Ooh, look what I got.
Poking.
It was just weird to me that the whole thing felt just foreign to me.
A lot of it was foreign. Could we just get past it and just get rid of the skibbies and just go ahead and show,
they do. There's a shower scene.
Well, there's a shower scene. Oh, you don't see anything, but there is a shower scene.
Yes, you do.
Well, you get yes, a quick you get a quick glimpse of the Italian sausage.
If you pause it, you get the full Italian sausage. If you
I must have missed it.
You blinked. It wasn't much.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's just say
maybe there are steroids.
Yeah, I was gonna say the other effect of steroids was in full effect as well. It turns out.
Oh my.
But anyway, it's fine. I thought I was just gonna laugh at this, and I came away with more respect than I expected. And it's not that I always respected the work ethic it takes to do this, and it does. Steroids or not, the stuff they have to do with weights and training and stuff is unbelievable. So
didn't you all feel like someone was going to throw their back out?
Every time anyone did anything, like me, I was afraid I was going to throw my back out watching it. Are you kidding me?
I was convinced I was going to see somebody's entire colon come out their shorts
right.
any minute now, because I was like, they're just going to. They're going to shoot those right out. There's just no way.
Yeah, they're not doing something simple over and over and over. They're doing something really hard a few times. And it just like every time they showed him lifting weights, I'm like, oh, one of these guys, he's just going to like snap his own arm off or something.
Yeah. Well, Arnold said, you know, he's fallen over before. He's thrown up a bunch of times. Like,
yeah,
you always
see. He was talking about that as his line to keep going. That's my line to stop.
Yeah.
If I feel like I'm going to faint, I'm like, nope.
No, exactly. I've seen those like actual competitions where somebody deadlifts a bunch of weight, and then the first thing they do as soon as they get it over the head is yak everywhere. Like, yeah. If I do that, I think I'm getting into a different line of work. I'm going to go do something right. else. And I'm so that's you. Just me. I'm a puss. I get it.
That's why you'll never be champion. Scott.
No, never. I will never be an Mr. Olympus? Mr. Olympus.
Olympia. Mr. Olympia.
Yeah. Olympia.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Olympian or Olympiad. Mr. Olympia.
Where do we stand on the... I mean, I have no problem with them competing, but I find anyone, male or female, that does this, I find them to be so alien to me that I don't quite know how... I mean, once in a while you get Arnold. Once in a while you get The Rock. Once in a while you get... somebody who's such a standout, so much charisma, so much everything that they can go on to have this enormous career and all sorts of other things. But so many of these guys don't. And I just don't know what the end game is. Like, okay, I got there. I took third. Now what? Well,
I think a part of it is you naturally distrust someone who could break your head off. Like, it's really, really hard, right? To see that person and not feel... like scared for your life.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Well, is there also kind of the tendency, and we're all nerds, you know, we all were maybe looked down upon in school for being on the nerdier side and less on the
athletic
brawn and athletic side. Isn't right. it just kind of our natural instinct to say, well, they've got to be dumb because they're bodybuilders.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we just make that assumption.
We're confusing, and I did the same thing. I automatically was thinking dumb because I was like, really, Lou, you spent all night reading a muscle magazine? What's in a muscle magazine? I mean, pictures? I mean, how long does it take to read that? But mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a lot of scientific, it's such a specific thing they're focused on that their interest is so laser focused, you assume ignorance and everything else, but they may be really smart because if I had a discussion with them, I'm sure they could tell me everything about nutrition and I would have no clue.
Yeah, they probably could. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very focused.
I've never really felt like they were, I never felt like they were dumb. I just felt like they'd kill me.
Yeah.
I think that's what maybe Randy, what you're getting to is that, I mean, this is just human nature, I guess, but we see a version of the species that is, so much, I mean, at least visually stronger. I feel like I could outrun any of them. Like, I could just go, all right, you could pound me into dust.
I could outclap any of them. Because
you could outclap them.
You could definitely bend over and touch your toes out them.
Right.
Out touch your toes them.
I don't know the last time you've seen.
I can't touch my toes very well. I think they've got me on that, as well as a few other things that they can do. But
I want to argue with the sort of like generalizing though, because I was an athlete in high school. I spent a lot of time in college in the gym. The gym was attached to my favorite thing on campus, which was the racquetball court. And I spent a lot of time in there and I got to know a lot of people who spent all their time in there. And it falls into groups like any other. Like, it's not all meatheads. It's some of them are meatheads, some of them are smart, some of them are reading books while they're working out. Like, there's different kinds of people in there.
Well,
The bodybuilders at this level in this movie, though, they appear to all fall into the same bucket, right? Like, they all They all kind of think the same.
Yeah.
They all fall on the same steroid and KFC bucket.
And I'm definitely not saying that assuming that they're not smart is right. And I think it was more just a defense mechanism I had growing up in high school and getting, you know, treated, looked down upon for being a nerd when we walked by the jock blocks.
Yep. So, yeah. So the only defense you had was, well, you're stupid.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's pretty much it.
Well, so, and to our credit, a lot of the jocks in my school were certifiably stupid. Like, they were just kind of dumb guys.
They probably didn't focus on grades, right? And that's where we'd assume that they were stupid.
No, there were some that not just didn't focus on grades, like full-on were failing, and some of them got, like bailed out by teachers who didn't want to see them get off the football team. Like, that kind of stuff happened all the time, that kind of weird favoritism. So that stereotype, you know, persisted for a long time. But then I've, you know, met plenty of people who are, like, freaking brilliant, go on to MIT that played, you know, that were quarterbacks or running backs or whatever. So yeah, like anything, it's stereotypes are usually limited. But when you're a kid, you put up whatever defenses you had. One of mine was not giant pecs and huge arms, so I had to come up with other ways to do it, you know?
Well, and when you're a kid, you're thrown together with whoever you're thrown together with. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm absolutely certain that whoever was Arnold Schwarzenegger's best friend coming up had a different experience than I did. Like, I played soccer. I was a goalkeeper. And you stand around a lot talking to the defensive guys while the play happens down the field. A lot. And the guys I played, I grew up 5 miles from the Rio Grande. The guys I played soccer with were English as a second language students. So they didn't have really good English. And they were always treated like dumb people. Which is totally unfair, like 100% unfair. But I had this experience thinking of athletes in this certain way that, you know, that just happens to be how I came up. You know, if I'd grown up somewhere else, I would have had a different experience with different people around me. Yeah. This movie is about all those people that are the same sort of coming together. Like he literally says, I couldn't wait to go to the United States. And then he gets to the US. He couldn't wait to go to Muscle Beach. The guy from Italy, same thing. They tell me I have to go to California. He goes to California. Like, these are self-selected for kind of being dumb in the same way. And it comes through. You don't really, right? You don't really look at any of them and think that's different than the rest of them. Right?
No. Everything, these were all the same class of whatever. And that brings me to a question. And I wrote this down because I don't know the answer to it. And I didn't do a lot of deep diving or anything. But what's the status of this stuff today? Like, is it still a big deal? Are there people?
Oh, yes, I don't think
still
it's
a Mr. Olympia.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I don't think it's grown or shrunk any, though. We just don't have, it's just like anything else. We don't have a celebrity, a superstar like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's hard to bring outside general interest into a sport without that. Because really, I mean, before Michael Phelps, I mean, how many of us really paid attention to swimming? I mean, not me.
Yeah. So there's, if you do a search for Mr. Olympia, I mean, there's photos up here of as recent as 2015. I don't see a 2016, but okay. Again, some of these have to be Photoshopped. These can't be real.
Yeah. Some of it, if you go to the official site, you'd be shocked at the ones that are real. And also, let me tell you something I've noticed that changed a lot since Arnold's time. Their little banana hammock is about the size of a freaking marble. I mean, look at that. There's nothing there. What are we doing there? That just doesn't seem right. But anyway, I'm looking right here. Buy tickets now. Do they do this in Vegas? Where do they do this? Doesn't say.
I don't know, but they've really put way more Vegas of an emphasis on being tan.
Oh, I thought you were
like,
smiling.
Oh, really?
Like shoe leather. It looks like tanned.
Yeah, somewhere during
leather,
the 80s, it got. I remember I was exposed to a little bit during the 80s, and I remember that was like the big thing, getting really dark. Yeah. I mean, because that extenuates the muscles, right? It only makes sense. You oil up and you tan because those two things show definition in muscle. So is it healthy? Heck no. I mean, look at it.
These guys are monsters, dude.
They really are.
Monsters. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, the ones that are on the official site, which are real, that is just something else.
I'll tell you, this movie brought humanity to something that I had dehumanized, which is this pumping iron. So, I mean, good job on the documentary.
So, apparently there is a guy who's kind of a superstar. I don't know his name. I'm trying to find it here, but he's in every photo I'm finding. Big Ramy? Big Ramy? Big Ramy.
How do you get to be Big Tony? I mean, in a group of giant men.
Did you notice that? So the movie opens with Schwarzenegger walking into Gold's Gym, and he's like, "Oh hey, I'm big."
Big Larry, Big Tony.
And then you realize, oh, he just puts the adjective big in front of everybody's name there. Yeah. So it's not like that's really their official nickname. That's just
I'm glad because I was worried.
Little Brian,
Little Tony. Yeah, like, Little Tony, look at you. You're a little small.
But you guys all noticed, right? He was a politician 30 years before. He was actually governor.
That's a good point. Yeah,
he was glad handing the crowd. Treating everybody as though he respects them a ton. Like, I would love to go back in time and ask someone within 10 years of this film, does this look like he's going to end up being a professional politician to you? Because the answer for me is yes. Oh my gosh. No one else in this movie has that sort of like charm.
Yeah, no, for sure. He's got, I mean, yeah. Like I say what you want about Schwarzenegger, that dude was way more than just some bodybuilder, man. He had about 10 other factors at play that were going to make him part of our social lexicon for the end of time.
So did you guys have a favorite slight that Arnold passed upon people? My favorite slight.
My favorite one is
my favorite slight.
Freaking bodybuilding websites have auto-playing videos. Anyway, go ahead.
My favorite slight was when Arnold was having breakfast with his with Lou's dad and Lou himself and his mom. And so, first of all, could anybody seem more uncomfortable than Lou at that point? I don't think anyone's ever been embarrassed of their parents more than Lou was at that point. But Arnold, as he was leaving, he got up and he said, he said all these nice things, and he told Lou's dad that he hoped he didn't screw Lou up again like he did last time. And I was like, wow, he just undermined Lou's dad 100%.
The film ends with them back together in the back of a car, in the back of a bus. And Schwarzenegger and Lou Ferrigno are acting like children. Yeah. And it's really cute and fun and everything. But in the midst of it, Schwarzenegger says to his mom, "Are you going to hook me up with your sister?"
Like, yes, what? Exactly. That was going to be my the greatest slight.
Right, greatest slight.
You're going to make me a spaghetti dinner and cheesecake and then hook me up with your sister. Yeah.
So I could kind of see where people said that, you know, Schwarzenegger was kind of ruthless to Lou, but it was so subdued.
Yeah, he felt like he thought he was being funny. I mean, I don't think he was meaning that much ill intent or whatever, but he also sounded like a 20-year-old cocky butthole.
And I think probably in the realm of bodybuilding in the mid-1970s, what Schwarzenegger was doing was, you know, probably the most egregious offense of that sort of thing, of that heckling and that giving somebody bad advice and putting them in their place and doing a little psychological warfare with them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So is this?
I'm sure it's way worse today.
Yeah, it probably is. Are we in the? So we've seen a lot of Schwarzenegger movies. How's this one? Does this one rank anywhere? It's documentary style, so it doesn't matter. Like, how do we feel about it in the mix?
I always come around to, do I ever want to watch this again? And then if yes, I ask the question, do I ever want to watch this again with you guys? Mm-hmm. And I'm a no on the first. So I just don't think it's, you know, like, it's not that, it's like 70s porn only without the girls. Like, it's just, you know, like, it just, I don't know. It's crappy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's right. I think a documentary, you get what you're going to get out of it right away. I don't know if I'd rewatch any documentary because I feel like, all right, I've gotten what I need to get out of this.
Right.
I'll rewatch entertainment, but I don't know if I'll rewatch documentaries.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I will watch documentaries over again in very small cases. As you know, I've seen all 18 hours of Ken Burns' baseball documentary like 5 times now.
Wow.
I love it. I love Civil War. So it's a Ken Burns thing for me. Maybe his stuff is infinitely rewatchable for me. I won't say that's true for everybody, but the only other case of it was Errol Morris made a couple of documentaries. I forgot the name of it. Anyway, it was McNamara, the Secretary of Defense during Kennedy and Johnson. What was the name of that thing?
The Fog of War.
I've watched Fog of War 3 times now, and I cannot get enough of that thing. So I think there are cases like this, but for the most part, I agree. Documentaries are not like a movie where, if anything, documentaries are more like video games for me. Some games are lots of replayability, but they kind of have to be built that way. But there are some games where it's like a narrative, and once you're done, you're kind of done, and you never want to go do that again. Mm-hmm. You may have loved it, but you don't want to do it again.
Apparently, you also like Philip Glass music, and who could blame you?
Yeah,
like,
I love Philip Glass. He's great.
You know, people older than us watched Koyaanisqatsi Scotsy over and over, and I could watch Hero Dreams of Sushi over and over because of the music.
Yeah.
And it's this other layer that a lot of things don't have, that combining music with what you're seeing. Ken Burns is a genius at it.
Yeah.
What we're talking about with this movie, though, a trope. Hey, we got one trope alert that I can think of.
Hold on.
This whole movie.
I got to find it. Here it is.
The theme song, title of the film. Oh my gosh. They ran the credits at the beginning with this pump it up, don't be my bow wow. And then they did it again on the end. The exact same song.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
And it plays throughout too. Like just the instrumental part of that thing plays throughout.
Hats off to the intro though, because they had that weird 1920s crappy video of that guy working out. That was great.
Love
that. Like more of that. In fact, that's really what I want here. I want a documentary that's about the history of this, not just a couple of dudes. I want the whole thing. Where did this start? I'm looking online right now. I see pictures of like 1915 and some dude wearing like a tiny little loin thing that's shaped like a leaf, and he's, you know, muscling out. And I want to know where that started.
You want the guy in the striped onesie sitting on the beach lifting the barbells that are basically big black spheres on opposite ends of a pole with his twirly mustache.
You have exactly said it. I want fisticuffs looking guys from that era. With those horrible mustaches. Oh, I would love it. That's what I'm interested in. But to your point about rewatchable documentaries, I'll give you one that you'll never watch twice. And I think Randy's seen it, so
I can name a bunch. Go ahead.
For me, it's that that Jesus Camp movie. I can't do Jesus Camp.
Oh, wow.
That was really hard to watch. Yeah. I mean, part of the reason it was such a raw, just turn the camera on and watch people be terrible kind of movie, and no commentary, no narrator, no music, and that made it even rougher. I think it's important viewing, but then at the end you were like, okay, I'm done with that, and I will never watch that again. Did not like it. But yeah, there's lots of, probably lots of those like that, but still a good question, and I bet we'll get emails, people saying, oh, the most rewatchable documentary ever is this one about Scientology or whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. And we'll share those emails on the other side, I guess. But
a lot of times the point of documentary is to show you something that you don't want to see, like that you're going out of your way to not observe these things, and
we're trying to woke you.
Right. Every now and then a documentary is a spot in your life where you stop and say, okay, I'm going to let this into my brain. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jesus Camp always reminds me of War Dance, which is about orphaned victims of war in Uganda. Horrific.
It's really good, but horrific.
You should watch it. Yeah. maybe you don't need to see it a second time ever, and it stays seared in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I feel like documentaries can be more important than fictional films.
Is there more of a controversial director of documentaries in our personal lifetimes than Michael Moore?
No, he's it. And I can't stand documentaries. I cannot stand them.
Because they feel very slanted, right? Because they
it's his style. Okay. Annoys me. He's slanted. There's no question about that. But
well, he tries to create drama sometimes to increase.
Oh, absolutely. Right? But that's part of my personality problem with him. He's just a dick. Like, I just can't stand him. I hate his documentaries. And I don't really like, what's his name with his fast food? What's the deal? Like,
Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah, I'm not into that. Yeah, no, not Seinfeld.
Morgan Spurlock.
I would watch a Seinfeld documentary in a heartbeat.
Morgan Spurlock.
What's the deal with fast food?
Morgan Spurlock is our generation's, like, superstar documentary maker. And he really doesn't do much other than he's really good at looking at his own camera and talking. Yeah. Like that's his. He's got a knack for
that. It's just not my thing. They're doing this the series on the media, this NPR show, or I guess not NPR technically, PRI, whatever it is. But they have it in podcast form, and they're doing this series of interviews with documentary directors, writers, producers, that kind of stuff. And talking about the ones where, like recently, one of the really big, it wasn't Earth 2, but one of these big BBC nature documentaries looked like they had the most incredible footage of this rare bird or whatever it was, and just can't get it anywhere. And then later they find out, no, that was captured and it was in some fenced in, you know, like we make a lot of assumptions about documentaries. When they show us something, we go, oh, well, that is a documentation of fact. And a lot of times it isn't. So this series is about the ethics of that and what steps over the line and what doesn't. And if you're under a budget constraint, maybe it makes sense to put birds in a cage, just not say anything about it. While others would advocate, you always say something about it. Like, that's fascinating, that whole thing, because they are making something different. You're not making Back to the Future. You're making this thing where you have maybe a point you want to make, and if you fudge that just a little, you invalidate your entire point in the end, whether you really do or don't. It doesn't matter. Perception will kill you.
Our expectation of most documentaries is that we want balance and truth, because we feel like it should be the truthiest truth there is. Yeah, when you're watching a documentary, don't play with me.
Let us make the decision on which way we feel about it. Just present us the facts.
Yeah. And you're not going to get that with Michael Moore. You're not going to get that with Bill Maher. You're not going to get that with, you know, a half a dozen conservative directors. You're going to get that with, but usually it's the people who turn the camera on and let shit happen is the ones I trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or interview somebody like that Errol Morris stuff. I love it because it's just these incredible insights from the people involved. That's it. Like, there's no, and here's what I think while I narrate half this movie away. It's not like that. I really appreciate those. Now, can those also be, you know, skewed or whatever? Of course they can. I mean, everything's suspect ever now, but still, you try to, and that, maybe that's why I like the Ken Burns stuff, because in some ways, if I was 12 and you said, here, Scott, watch a Ken Burns documentary, I'd rather slit my wrists. That sounds terrible. How boring is this? Because there's no excitement. It's boring. But once you get to a certain maturity, you're like, oh no, wait, this is like historical. And here are some photographs, and here's a letter, and here's a, and that stuff just, you know, I mean, that's why he's probably the greatest documentarian of all time. I don't think it's weird to even say that. I think that's straight up the truth.
I
think a problem with Pumping Iron for me is that we've seen such good documentaries the last decade or two. Like, the form has just taken way off. And now people have seen Exit Through the Gift Shop and Man on Wire. Compare Bowling for Columbine, which is, honestly, Michael Moore's best, and it's very well constructed. Compare it to Pumping Iron, which how could you appreciate this? It looks horrible.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, somebody, like, a lot of the IMDb reviews are like, oh, it's the best bodybuilding documentary of all time.
Well, he's low bar set.
So maybe there's not a lot around it, but there's a really good wrestling documentary called, oh, shoot. Something on the mat.
Pumping chairs.
No, it's mat.
No. Folding chairs.
Folding chairs.
On the mat or off the mat or something like the mat.
Oh,
something with
that
the
sounds
mat,
right.
Mat, whatever it is. I forget.
I don't know.
That's awesome. Like,
Joey Image is yelling at the screen right now.
I mean, there's no subject you couldn't do a great documentary on if you just have the right angles or whatever. This thing was just, we're a bunch of dudes putting oil on, and then we're going to go talk for a bit, and Arnold's kind of a dick, isn't he? Sure he is. Here's a deaf guy. Wee! Like, it just wasn't...
As bodybuilders, we like to sing and rhyme and song.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Just came off as, like... Well, whatever. It came off as 1977. That's what it did. Yeah.
Right.
Which is not a great year.
Well, I will say, overall, with the documentary, I enjoyed myself. It enlightened me. I didn't feel like I was jerked around very much. Some things were uncomfortable, but maybe because those kind of muscles just freak me out a little bit. Doesn't seem natural.
Yeah.
It's nothing against anyone. If that's what that's what you're wanting to do, sculpt your body like that, and that makes you happy, do it.
Yeah, go for it.
But for me, I don't like seeing veins that close to the surface of the body in that circumference and size. It makes me uncomfortable.
Wait, you don't like a half inch in circumference boob vein? Is that what you're telling me? Okay.
Not a fan.
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger and others, but Schwarzenegger mainly, has a bicep on top of his bicep.
Yeah.
Right.
And you get to see it from certain angles, and it, I don't know why it grossed me out. It felt to me like he had an alien, a little like he was a Trill, and that's where the alien was living in his body, like right inside
the symbiote in his arm. Yeah. Well, the way it bulges out is not, I mean, I'm, you know, straight up, that's not normal. Like, that is a thing you have to build up, make, and whatever. And I'm sure it helped him move a lot of furniture or whatever the hell good it does for him. But, man, I don't want that
to pick up a maid.
Yeah. I like the idea of, like, you look at some of the middleweight or whatever they call. There's other categories, right? You don't have to be a giant muscle ball. You can be these
the losers.
Kind of, those, the losers. That's where I want to be. And I don't mean anything you saw in this movie, but like some of these guys that just are in shape, like, you know, Beckham looking shape.
Right, right. We relate that to good health. And I don't think we think that these bodybuilders are necessarily in good health. I mean, they could be. Unlikely if you're abusing your body. You're pushing your body beyond the points of when your body says, hey, this is pain, let's stop, and you go, whatever.
Yeah.
That's not healthy.
These guys all seem to be living. I mean, not that a percentage should be dead or anything, but like wrestlers seem to die so early, it seems like, and they all have these issues.
Head injuries,
right? Well, football mostly. So in football, you got head injuries. In wrestling, you just have tons of heart attacks and like stuff related to injuries they've taken on in the ring, but also stuff to deal with their steroid use. But with these bodybuilder guys, you never hear about any of that. They all seem to be just moving along just fine. Yeah, you know, they all have weird boobs now, but you know, whatever. They're not dying of boob problems, so it's fine.
Right.
It's fine.
Other than that, you made it through. Good job.
Good job, guys.
Clean on the other side. Do you get a reduction when you get something like that going on?
I think you do. Yeah, there's a bunch of let's see, New York City ad I found somewhere that was specifically for, it was a plastic surgery clinic just for guys like this.
Oh,
and women who wanted to go get reductions on stuff once they got, you know, you get older and it's just excess stuff and you don't need it.
So yeah.
Cut it out. I would too. I mean, I think I totally would. And that one of those pictures I put in Skype was a guy who needs it. Did you guys see that one?
Yeah. Oh man. There is no shortage of photoshopped muscle men on the internet.
Oh no. Yeah. Well, that one's supposedly real and from some place where this guy needs help. Because none of that looks right. That looks.
Have you guys ever watched? I've seen a documentary on steroid abuse and people's obsessions with shooting. You know, the steroids strictly into the muscle and making them become totally exaggerated to the point they're just grotesque.
Right.
I'm trying to remember if it was a TV series, but it was definitely a documentary style. But I remember thinking, wow, these people are obsessed, unhealthily, to try to get big. With working out and also
steroids. At some point, it's a body image problem for some.
Right.
I mean, it's not everybody, obviously. But, like, there's going to be some people, like anything, you just take it too far. And, you know, whether it's, you know, women with eating disorders, men with eating disorders, whether it's eating too much or not enough or doing things
welcome
like
to Therapy
body.
Thursdays.
Yeah, here it is. Thank you very much. Wendy will be here next time. Bye, everybody. All right, before we get to clips, which are coming right up, I want to talk to you guys about Bombfell. They're an online personal styling service for men that helps find the right clothes for you. They definitely help find the right clothes for me. It's an easier way for men to get better clothes. Simple as that. I hate going shopping. Ask my wife. I freaking hate it. So I love what Bombfell does because they do all the work for me. After completing a very simple questionnaire, I and you will be matched with one-on-one people. A dedicated personal stylist is their name. They handpick everything. All right. So you're working with somebody who knows style, not just you being like, well, I think that looks okay. Like they know what they're doing. Your stylist will email you his or her selections after you've had 48 hours or so to make changes or even cancel altogether. You're in total control, by the way, which is nice. And there are no fees. When you sign up, you pay $0 because there are no fees to work with them. It's the only styling service that does not charge a styling fee or subscription fee. You only pay for the clothes you keep. Bombfell is the only service that can make this claim, which is awesome. They're very convenient, very straightforward, completely flexible. You can receive clothes every 1, 2, or 3 months, and you can pause or cancel at any time. Clothing is shipped straight to your door. No need to spend hours shopping at the store. It was very easy to sign up. Taking the style quiz was simple. Getting what I needed was fast and easy. And they sent me clothes that not only fit, but look really good on me. My wife was like, what are you doing? I'm like, look at me. I went shopping. I kind of faked it a little bit and told her I went shopping. But I really didn't. It was all Bombfell. And it was really a great feeling. I opened up this package, tried everything on. Everything fit. The quality of the pieces was great. Even my kids were kind of impressed. Anyway, here's what I want you guys to do. We have a very special offer just for listeners of the show. For $25 off your first purchase, go to bombfell.com/filmsack. That's bombfell.com/filmsack. That's bombfell.com/filmsack for $25 off your first purchase. Thanks again to Bombfell for supporting the show. I do have some clips if you'd like to hear them. They are various. Oh. There's not a ton, but there's some. Here's the little narrator.
There's some grunting.
There is a little grunting. A little bit of grunting. Here's one. Here's the dude kind of narrating the movie. So here's him.
Gold's Gym, Venice, California, where many of the best bodybuilders in the world come to train.
He would just kind of come in once in a while and give you a little info.
Yeah, it was very random. Yeah. And that Gold's Gym was like way nicer than Lou's panel trailer he worked out in.
Wooden shag carpeting. Yeah.
That gave me the, maybe I grew, well, whatever. We all grew up, we would have been kids, you know, what was I, 6 or 7 the year this came out? So for me, I would have, being in a room full of wood paneling and shag red carpet is creepy. I don't like
it. It's sweaty.
It's just gives me bad feelings of that time.
But I think it does. Because you look back at it today and what people who have that today, what that kind of implies.
Yeah.
They never got, you know, to fix it. They never got to update it. They're still stuck in.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. I hadn't thought of it that way. That's true. When it was in style, who cares? But
everybody had that. Yeah. You were downstairs playing Atari in a room that looked probably just like that.
You were playing your wood paneled Atari.
And now, you're matching Atari. But if now, if you go into a home like that, you go into a basement like that, you're pretty sure someone's putting the lotion on the skin somewhere. I really don't like it. Freaks me out.
I was amazed in that moment to see these shots of Santa Monica, because apparently 40 years ago, Santa Monica was a sleepy ocean town with not a lot of buildings. And now, like, it was far away from Los Angeles back then. Now it is Los Angeles. Yeah. You can't get an apartment there for less than $3,000 a month. Yep. Like, it didn't look right to me at all looking back in time like this.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was something weird about how that scene was out in the country on the beach.
Sprawl is real, man. Get you every time. Here's Arnold saying words for you. Here you go.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, 28 years old.
Take it back. This is not Arnold. This is that guy talking about Arnold.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, 28 years old, 6'2", 240 pounds. Mr. Olympia for the past 5 years. He is preparing to defend his title this year for the last time.
I'd always assumed I was taller, or that I was shorter than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm actually 2 inches taller than him, and I would love to just stand next to him. That'd be fun.
Right.
That'd be one thing I'd have on him.
He's probably even shorter now.
Yeah, he'd probably all a little shrunk, right? We all shrunk a little bit. Actually, I'm closer to 6'3 these days than I was 6'4. Arnold, here's Arnold, and I don't know what he's saying.
I mean, it's not any stranger as going into a car and trying to go in a quarter mile 5 seconds. I mean, that's for me strange.
What?
So he's talking about racing, right?
Well, he's talking about how people think that bodybuilding is strange, but for him, it's like, all right, well, this is normal to me, but I think car racing is strange.
Oh, and for them to push, I get
plus,
it.
Plus, I could never fit in a car.
or anything else. If you're a writer and you got to push through 3 chapters you're struggling with, like, it's it's his thing, right?
Right.
I get that. I just cut this out for fun.
That's what we call the pump.
I'm going to use that for a long time. That's what we call the pump. Sorry, but we have to play this, is what I wrote.
Okay.
Here it is, and I apologize in advance. Oh, if you have kids, you know, you may have to explain this, I guess. I don't know if you even want to.
You know what? I played it out loud on my TV right in front of my 7-year-old. He had no idea that there was anything wrong being spoken about.
You're fine there. I don't know. If you got like a 12-year-old you're worried about,
there's
maybe
a blissful innocence involved with not knowing that the extra meaning of the word that he says an awful lot.
My 7-year-old is about on the same mental level as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Great. Well, here goes then. His philosophy about what it feels like to work out.
It's as satisfying to me as coming is, you know, as having sex with a woman and coming. So can you believe how much I am in heaven? I'm like getting the feeling of coming in the gym. I'm getting the feeling of coming at home. I'm getting the feeling of coming backstage when I pump up, when I pose out in front of 5,000 people. I get the same feeling. So I'm coming day and night. I mean, it's terrific, right? So, you know, I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
Where's your porn?
Except for the cleaning bill.
Right, true. How much?
So... what's funny is, and I didn't pick this up when I was watching it, but hearing it in the podcast, I hear much more clearly the discordant music that goes on like he's in an acid trip.
Yep,
right.
Like,
it does.
It's like an 80s horror movie.
Totally, yeah.
Watch it right now.
All we need is the tom-tom. Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
Oh, I love that stuff. All right. Oh, I did that already. This is a little intense, I wrote.
That was my biggest thing, you know, to go on a football field and be so feared, I wanted to be put in a cage. You know, and rolled out like in a circus, you know, big bars, you know, and with chains and everything, and then just hope like hell that everybody would just run off the field when they saw me coming.
Jeez, that's some high-minded ideas about what you want to do.
I wanted to be basically the monster in King Kong.
Yeah, right. I really like King Kong, and really, I just like to be the ape. So he should say.
He really, it was sad. His whole character was sad because you could tell he was tough life. And even after he lost, oh my gosh, his concession rant was weird.
Yeah.
Made me feel super sad.
Yeah. And the guy that won, you could just tell it's just kind of an a-hole, you know?
Yeah. Well, got that feeling. That's how you get to the top.
But then again, these documentaries like reality TV, I mean, what an eye-opener it was to have a editor on Current Geek whose editing work had just finished up on one of those Housewives of Atlanta or somewhere. He did editing work on Pawn Stars and on, what's the one where they, the Storage Wars ones? Yeah, Storage Wars. He says in every single case, all of it is made. None of it is real. Right. Everything's crap. Even like Pawn Stars, somebody comes in going, I got this gun my grandpa gave me from the burp burp. All of that Total stuff's work. Crap. They'll call somebody they found on Craigslist and say, bring your fake thing in here. We're going to have a little fun with it.
They rehearse it?
Right. Yeah. It's all crap. And then if it doesn't work, they say, all right, this time be rude to him. Okay, film again. All right, here we go. Now he's being rude. Like, it's just, I hate knowing that, but also I kind of love knowing that. And he hated it. He was so glad to be done with that. He just kept telling me, he's like, oh, I'm so glad to be out of there. He was sick of it.
The worst for me was that True TV show, Cheaters.
Oh,
I didn't see it. Because I had a friend who was cast as the cheater in one of their sequences, and he just went, you know, he explained how they did the whole thing, and like, he wanted to be an actor, and he got, you know, so they only hired people who had no credits because that makes it look more realistic and so on. Yeah. And I just like, it made me so sad because it's such a disgustingly compelling show. Yeah. It's 100% fake.
Does it take, I mean, did it get him anywhere? Like, did he get any?
No, not at all.
Yeah. See, I always feel like those things are never going to get you anywhere because if they throw you under the bus and turn you into an evil character in your dumb fake show. Well, it's not like suddenly, get him over here for the next Spielberg picture, see? Man.
Well,
like,
see, that's the thing. I mean, I think that there's different levels of it, too. I think you can't just lump everything into, it's all fake. I think that the Bravo stuff is elevated for drama's sake. It's scripted. It's meant not to look like it's scripted. And I think the Storage Wars and the Pawn Stars and the, I don't know, History
Ninja
Channel?
Warrior.
Is that where?
Yeah, History Channel's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But like something like Ninja Warrior is 100% real.
Yeah.
There's no scripting at all.
Sure. Yeah. Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like the agility ones, the you know, stuff you see on Survivor that isn't the drama that you see between them, which you can edit anything to make it look like there's drama between two people just by inserting silence from the other one after the other person says something.
Yeah.
Give like a minute of silence to the other person just looking at them. Even if they're looking at them saying something completely different, You make them just kind of looking at the other person. Okay, there's drama between those two.
Yeah.
But I think that there's absolutely levels of that. There's things you just can't fake. American Ninja Warrior is a great example.
Sure. I think Amazing Race is like that, you know.
Amazing Race is a good example of that. Yeah. One of the positive ones. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that those exist because I feel like there should be more, and I don't know why there are not, but there should be more of those.
And it's fun to think when you start watching Amazing Race, the people making this show have no idea where this is all going.
Like
how they're going to be portrayed, you mean? And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
no
that,
idea.
Yeah. There's something authentic about that, and I appreciate when they do that. It's when I've got B-roll of someone making no face at all, but inserting it in with some really intense music because it makes it look like they're pissed, even though it was taken two days earlier somewhere else. Like, I can't live
exactly,
with that.
Exactly.
Here's what? I don't know what this is.
Just put your face, just hug him, you know, kind of sexy.
Oh, this guy, the photo guy. Hold on, let me play that again. I'm going to play that guy one more time.
Just put your face, just hug him, you know, kind of sexy.
Ugh, gosh, dang it. How could you? Nothing sexy with him in charge. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Now, that guy did just come off a porn shoot.
Yeah.
Like, right before. Really he was did. Still in. He was just still stuck in porn mode.
It's so bad.
Exactly.
Exactly. Oh, that's perfect. Blah. All right, here's Milk is for Babies. It's real hard to hear this, but I...
Oh, that was a good bit. That was wild.
Here it is.
Milk is for babies.
Milk is for babies, just so you guys
drink
know.
Drink beer.
Yeah, drink beer.
Drink beer.
Yeah, milk is for babies. All right, Lou... What? Here's Lou.
Lou Ferrigno, 24 years old, a former sheet metal worker. Mr. America and twice Mr. Universe. He's turned professional this year and is a contender for the Mr. Olympia title.
And he's eating every pill we have.
Right. I believe that's estrogen you're taking there. Don't take that.
Yeah.
Just knocked over a vitamin cottage.
Here's, what's this, threw up? Oh, him talking about barfing while he works out.
I threw up many times while I was working out, but it doesn't matter.
It matters.
It matters. We're all in agreement over here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think you're wrong on that one. I think it does matter. I mean, it may not stop me from working out, but, you know.
Yeah, and then he follows it up with his story about his mom calling and telling him his dad is dead, and he's like, whatever, I've got...
Yeah, he was like almost boasting about... Yeah, almost boasted about not going to his dad's funeral because he was too busy working on his...
Here's the thing about that. If you look at the trivia on IMDb... He says that was something that the directors told him to add because they wanted some more drama added to the thing. Okay. He says that I was there, you know, I visited my dad shortly before he died. I was definitely at his funeral. We had a great relationship, blah, blah, blah. So it's either him defending himself after the fact or what's more believable is, you know, directors saying, all we have is a lot of footage of some guys getting oiled up.
We either need to go full porn or get some other artificial drama in here.
Exactly.
So when you was reading that trivia, did you see anything about Stallone applying for this role or anything? No. Was there any other people they considered for that part?
There's no IMDb considered for this role information, which I'm really glad because I think that is, I really do think there's a concerted joke across IMDb where people put that in. I really do. I think
it'd be really cool though if they said that they considered Arnold Schwarzenegger for the film.
Right.
They tested Arnold Schwarzenegger for this movie and decided to.
They passed on Arnold Schwarzenegger and Lou Ferrigno. No one knows why. Something about water bottles, which to me look like big ball sacks. But anyway, here's the thing about water bottles.
Ladies and gentlemen, the strongest man in the world is blowing up a hot water bottle.
We put this line in later. It's not even happening live.
Yeah.
Does anyone still use a hot water bottle?
Thank you for stopping before the lie. The guy immediately after that says that it takes 600 pounds of pressure. Does not.
Nope, it does not.
I mean, it doesn't take a minimum of 600 pounds of pressure. 600 pounds of pressure would definitely blow up, would instantly blow up a hot water bottle. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I would love to watch something on the same couch as Randy sometimes, to hear him yelling at the screen.
Yeah. 600 pounds of pressure? Oh,
it was ridiculous. Come on. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. I hate bad science. I hate when they don't, like, just do some. I realize in 77 it's not the same as 2017 where you got a lot of resources, but... Come on. Well, if you're going to give us a number, stick behind your number.
It's absolutely incredible that you could generate the pressure to blow up a hot water bottle. Like,
it is amazing.
150 pounds of pressure will do it. Like, that's an amazing number. Say that, and we're fine. Like, why lie?
Yeah.
Well, you need the extra. I mean, it's thicker, so you couldn't do it with... There is a certain level that you blowing air in that thing is not going to inflate it because the pressure... The the thickness average, of the walls of that thing are going to
right,
be
right. The average tire takes what, like 40 pounds of pressure?
Right, PSI? And that's way thicker
right.
than a hot water bottle. Right. So yeah, it's
lame.
There is a cutoff. I don't know what that cutoff is, but it's certainly not 600 pounds of pressure.
Well, it looked like an infected taint to me. So
we have just defined all kinds of facts on this show that are going to be debunked.
Yeah, it's
I'm guaranteeing. Emails. I'm guaranteeing less than 200 pounds of pressure. And friends, don't try this at home. No. Oh my gosh, what a moron to try to do that.
Yeah. You'll separate your cheeks from the skin that holds them to the
back.
You
will
look like
gosh.
Louis Armstrong for the rest of your life, right?
Oh, that grosses me out so bad. You know what just grossed me out the most in this movie? You saying that. That is Oh, you've ever blown on a balloon so hard that kind of you feel that
yes.
Oh, I hate that so bad. Oh, that feels.
I was actually about to ask what the grossest thing in this movie was.
Oh,
so.
That was probably it. I was gonna tell you the grossest thing in the movie was just probably how the gym smelled, but that what you just said is it. That's it. Here's Lou's dad.
You remind me what you're gonna show them, and then you go boom, like you're saying, take a look at this hunk of man. Something like that, okay?
go with that. Something like that, okay?
Bam.
It reminds me of is it Armisen from Staring Out Live that does those documentaries?
Oh, Fred Armisen, yeah.
He sounded a lot like him there.
Yes,
like
the sound, but he looks like F. Murray Abraham.
Right, right. True story.
100%.
Totally does. The guy died in 2003, just for the record.
Okay.
Weird Arnold sound.
Ah, oh.
All right, there's that.
Now, that's him talking about sex. Right.
I don't remember.
Was him talking about the guy that he told to scream when he walked in there. So when he screamed, when he raised his hands up high, scream high. When he puts your hands down low, scream low. And then he demonstrated the sound.
It was his interview with Waldo over there. Like, there he said that. My guy has the most Waldo ass shirt I've ever seen. More weird Arnold sounds. Okay, some more of that. And then Arnold thinks he's perfect.
I don't have any weak points. I had weak points a few years ago, but my main thing in mind is my goal always was to even out everything to the point that everything is perfect.
Oh, good job, buddy.
Right,
Your maid will appreciate that one day, trust me.
Watch where you're putting those weak points.
Yeah, keep that weak point in your pants, buddy. and then we heard our porn music. I mean, this movie is full of this stuff, full of that music.
So is porn music? Is it 70s cheaply made music? Is that porn music? Is that what we're defining, or are we saying they also used porn music?
I think they used some of the same instrumentation that you get in porn music, which is the wah-wah pedal on the guitar, the really slow groove drums.
Yep. I think it's just a kind of music, and they used it.
Right.
Or made it, or whatever they did. This is what happens when you lift too much weight.
Pissed blood!
All right, that's from last
week. Oh, my gosh. What a callback.
Yeah, good callback.
Thank you.
That means that it's time for this, everybody. Why, it's the Film Sack checklist. Porn music, check. Tiny man wieners, check. And long scenes with very oily men, check. All right, all three of those made it. That's good. Trek stuff, there is none. There's no connections. Nobody went on to do anything in Star Trek, turns out. Not Arnold, not Ferrigno,
wait,
not
wait,
nobody.
What? Lou Ferrigno did Star Trek stuff?
No, he didn't. Did he?
Yes, he did.
According to Daryl, he didn't, and I couldn't find it either. So
if you go to the Wikipedia, he does some Star Trek things on Lou Ferrigno. So let me look it up real quick while y'all continue to talk, because I'm pretty sure.
Oh, you know what? Star Trek Continues. That was the... What TV is 30. That? No, that was 2014. Like what the hell was that? 2014.
It's like a... like a fan made thing.
Further Adventures of the Crew. Oh yeah, that's what it is. He's in a fan film. That's what it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well
it's
still
loose it's a fan TV show.
Yeah, right. I'm gonna. You know what? Aaron Gray was. I'm gonna say we can count it. Marina Sirtis was in it. Whatever. How do you say her name? Somebody else that was big in this.
A loose Trek connection. How about that?
Yeah.
Grant Imahara's in there as Sulu.
Mm. Yeah, he's Sulu in that. All
that
right.
Guy.
And I'm pretty sure. Q's in it, isn't he?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, he's on the poster.
I haven't gotten to his name yet.
He's on the poster here. You think that's him? Hold on. Yeah, that's Q. That is straight up Q.
Yeah. That is straight up Q, my friend. That is uppercase Q, not lowercase Q. That is.
We're only Q. Paying what you to be in the
connection. No John Delancey listed.
Weird.
Yeah.
We just need you for the poster.
How much for the poster, Mr. Delancey? Yeah. I don't know. Could you make change for 100?
$40. I only have 39. We'll laugh off then. That's what
he
said.
Oh, there he is. He is. Yes. He was in one episode in 2017.
Was he Q in that?
No, he was Galisti.
Galisti?
Yeah, Galisti.
I'm going to get paid
like
for that.
Like spelling it makes it any better.
Michael Dorn was computer voice. So Jamie Bamber was in this as Simone. It's funny. They got a lot of people. It's almost like they went to a Comic-Con and filmed people.
Probably did.
Maybe that's
exactly
how
what they did.
Where's Richard Kind? Not Richard Kind. Yeah. I can't even say it. Richard Hatch. Oh, he died. I shouldn't say Richard Hatch. Oh, didn't he just die? He just died.
He did. Yeah.
Soundtrack great. I give it a P for porn. And see, a Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less. I think it would be wise to do as tradition dictates and start with Randy.
Pumping Iron. A PG-rated Debbie Does Dallas starring only men and one sad cheetah. Spoiler alert, yeah. The cheetah dies. Sorry. That's what happens when you lick Ferrigno.
Okay, maybe licking Ferrigno's inner thighs was also gross. Maybe
the
that.
The grossest thing in the movie. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Tastes like Mazzola.
Oh, gross. Gross. Brian Dunaway.
Similar topic. I didn't write a backup Twitter, so suck it. Pumping iron, like watching a guy getting his knees licked by a cheetah. What am I watching right now? Is this porn? I hate my eyes.
Team Deluxe Away rides again.
Nicely done. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Pumping iron. The feeling of watching Film Sack is the same feeling as having sex with a woman. There's a lot of frustration. There's some rewinding. And at the end, none of us have any idea what we're doing it for.
Woman. Nice.
A woman.
All right. Well done. Time for this. Alternate titles, everybody. Arnold is kind of a dick, and or there's the beef. Get it? Instead of where's the beef, there's the beef. Yep. I got a couple emails. One is somebody who wants to saddle right up to Dunaway and tell him you've got a friend in Australia. Sydney, in fact.
Oh, you got a friend.
This is Simon Foster, who says, his last name is Australian for beer.
The beer, right.
I'm with Dunaway. A quarter-ton animal with the brain the size of a walnut. No, thank you. Cheers. Simon Foster from Sydney, Australia. Not a fan of horses either.
Good job. Yes, agreed.
Your horse movie hate really permeated the community this week.
It's more polarized than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah.
People flipped out.
I like this fraction-ton measurement, too. Like, I just realized I weigh a tenth ton.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I weigh a tenth ton.
That's a pretty good way of doing it. I'm going to start doing that. Another email from Andrew Bradford, who says, hey, FilmSack crew, let's cut the crap and get right to it. Adventures in Babysitting is an ideal movie to sack. Ooh. It's currently available on Netflix, stars the beloved Elizabeth Shue, and has a great soundtrack and tons of material for a great episode. Please consider it. Otherwise, keep up the great work. Andrew Bradford. Yeah.
As Vincent D'Onofrio is the first Thor on film.
Nice.
Love that movie, so I would love to hate it.
I've never seen it. Never saw it.
Oh, really? Okay, yep. Well, then that answers. I could have sworn we'd done that for Film Sack. So, no, great. Let's put it on the list.
Feels okay. Like it was on at one point and then got moved or something because it dropped.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we should totally do it. A lot of people looked at that one as one of their big, you know, movies growing up. I just, for whatever reason, never saw it, so... It's time to see.
Yeah. That's very good. Young Penelope and Moore.
I have it on DVD.
Ooh.
Oh. Special features and all.
Fancy.
Well, but it is streaming, right? So, I mean, we would be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If it's streaming right now, we should do it. Well, it's as long as it's got a long, you know, decent lifespan. So on that subject, you know, like in some ways, Netflix having more and more original programming and some of these networks, like most recently Disney, not renewing their contract and deciding to take Pixar and Disney animated films specifically, not necessarily Marvel or Star Wars yet, but anything Disney and Pixar, they're moving to their own streaming service. And CBS has their all access thing and HBO Go, of course, and everybody, you know, everyone's kind of got their thing now and they're starting to splinter off. And that's interesting for us because we now, you know, the one place where you kind of get everything is slowly not having everything. They're having, you know, amazing content and have never been better in terms of their stock and all that other stuff, but they're just not necessarily going to be the landing place for every movie we ever want to see.
I'm seeing a lot of stuff moving to Hulu. I noticed it's
splintering
about
splintering over to Hulu.
A month ago, their movies have increased exponentially,
or even Amazon.
Yeah, and they're like, getting better stuff too. I mean, there's Netflix is focusing so much on their original content too that's also making it feels like it's making less room for the for the classic films on Netflix.
Part of it's smart though, because if Netflix doesn't do this, then this is happening whether they do it or not. So everybody else wants to be their own Netflix. It was only a matter of time before they got the wherewithal to do it. So now they're doing it. You suddenly realize, oh, Hastings and crew over there at Netflix are actually pretty smart to have invested this way. Elsewise, they would be just a place that's losing titles instead of a place that has.
And those, you know, the CBS's and Disney, they'll be back. I hate to tell them, but exclusively trying to stream on their own area is not going to work for consumers.
Disney maybe. Disney maybe, though. Like, it works for HBO, certainly. So
Disney has spent the last decade buying up every major kind of IP. Like they, they could,
but I'm not going to
pull this off.
But I can tell you, they may be able to do it. But as far as I go, I'm not going to pay another $7.99, $10.99 for Disney by itself. If that's their plan, ain't gonna work.
You would if you had 2 to 7 year old kids. Like you'd make perfect sense for you to say, oh, there's this Disney app and my kids only have that and it's all cartoons and it's all Disney XD.
That may be fine and all, but I mean, I've got to think that the lion's share of the Disney fans with children as well is going to be my age, because Disney meant a huge something to us during that whole Aladdin, Lion King, all those movies. I'm not sure you're going to convince every upcoming kid that you're the place.
If it's a five a month, if it's $4.99, 5 a month, 6 a month, something like that, I'll do it. If it's like an add-on to Amazon Prime or something, I'd totally do it. If it's 12, 15, F off. I'm not doing it.
Right. Yeah, well, that's where the line has to be drawn. It might not be a bad idea for a poll at some point on the FilmSack site to say, all right, what other streaming service do you own? And then we start integrating, maybe if Hulu's the second highest streaming service that our listeners have, maybe we start integrating stuff from there as well.
Sure. I'll bet it ends up being Amazon numbers wise. I'll bet that's where most.
Oh, that's pretty close.
Well, just everybody has Prime, and a lot of people have Prime, I should say. But that's also much more of a U.S. thing. So, yeah, there's questions. Maybe a survey would be a good idea. I like that, actually. We'll put one together. We'll put it out there and let you guys.
I've kind of accidentally locked us into it, haven't I? By suggesting it on the show.
Nicely done.
In the meantime, we're not going to stream something next week at all, are we? We're going to go offline.
No, next week we're here, I thought, aren't we? Next
we're going offline for our video.
We're gonna
watch a DVD that Adam Harris sent us called Strange Brew.
That's right. We're finally getting to it, Adam. You can breathe easy. And if you're still listening to the show, it's been a long time.
You hoser.
Yeah, you hoser. I just heard an interview with Rick Moranis like 2 days ago. I thought he was totally done and out, but apparently he's been doing stuff in Canada and mostly raising his kids. And there was no controversy. There was no Hollywood is killing me. It was just him going, I'm having kids and I'd like to spend time with them and not do this. That was
it. He took a break, right? Did he lose his wife and he took a break to be there for his kids? Or am I thinking of someone else?
No, he's still, his wife's there. He's there happily married. Great kids are all growing up. Like he seemed the most stable dude I've heard on a radio show in a long time. So I think I had a narrative in my head that things, you know, the Hollywood was just a big poo hole and he had to get out, or, you know, cause he couldn't stand it. And he's like, no, I just, you know, I wanted to raise my kids. Right. I wanted to be here for him. I had enough money. I was making Ghostbusters money. So I was
special feature on this DVD, the animated adventures of Bob and Doug McKenzie.
I watched that when it aired.
You've got a much better DVD than I do.
I watched that when that aired, dude. Isn't that funny? I was so into it. I was so excited when it aired, and then it didn't last, but I loved it. I was a huge Bob and Doug McKenzie fan, so this is very exciting. I've seen this movie like 18 times, and I am happy to watch it again. So, Brian, you know what to do. Dunaway, rather. You know what to do with your disc. You know what to do.
I'm doing it. I'm shaking my disc, and I'm playing it.
We all have the disc, but I need a special version for what I do. But anyway, thanks for that, Adam Harris. And we'll... Adam, right? Adam. Adam?
Adam. Yes, Adam.
Adam.
We'll get to that and many other DVDs in the future. I think that's it for that. That's our next film next week. Strange Brew, everybody. Don't forget, you can find us on the web, filmsack.com. You can leave us emails, filmsack@gmail.com. And if you so want to, you can send us like an attachment. We'll be happy to play it on the show as long as it's not dumb or too long.
We'll take whatever you got.
Yeah, that's right.
Better not be dumb, though.
You can also find us on Twitter at filmsack. And that's it. Thanks for everything. Oh, and leave us reviews wherever you get your podcast, because that helps us out in lots and lots of ways. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randir. We'll see you next time.
It's cheetah licking good.
Coming.
Ew. Oh, no.
No.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's what we call the pump.